Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk. I want to talk to you this morning just about just the power of your mouth, the power of the tongue. So we're in a series that we've called Foolproof, and we're going through the book of Proverbs. And here's what's interesting is, do you know that the idea of our mouth or our tongue, it's a mega theme in Proverbs. That more than upwards of 150 times the Proverbs is going to speak to us about our words, about our mouth, and about our tongue. And so how many know, like, anyone, maybe we can raise some hands, anyone ever have their mouth get them in trouble? Just me? Oh, good. That was our first collective unanimous amen. And so it's interesting. Proverbs 10:11 says this, that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. And so I don't know if you've ever been around those people where, like, for example, many of you have seen my pastor, Pastor Ron Lewis, has ministered here a couple times. And Ronnie, for whatever reason, this guy, like, everything is just awesome. Have you ever been around that individual where everything's just amazing and fantastic? It's funny, it's just a fountain of life is just coming out, and he always has, like, people all around him. Why? Because we want to be around that fountain of life. Now, conversely, anyone have Debbie Downer in their life? Anyone? If you are Debbie Downer, I need to see you afterwards, but it's just like everything stinks and everything's like wah, 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 you know? And so that person's in there as well. Here's another one. It says, Proverbs says Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, that even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. And so I want to talk specifically to single people this morning. Like, ladies, have you ever dated this guy, you know, or whatever, and you're like, man, like, he's just kind of quiet, and you're like, oh, he's just mysterious, right? But then he starts talking, and you realize, oh, no, he's an idiot, right? So I mean, that person's out there as well. And I wanted us to turn to the book of James. The book of James is interesting. They actually call it's the Proverbs of our New Testament. And so there's going to be a lot of wisdom nuggets, these short, pithy statements that James is going to give to us. And it too, James is going to have much to say about the tongue. And so in James chapter 3, he's going to say this. In James chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it says that our tongue, it can't be tamed. It reads like this. It says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creatures can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. And so I don't know if you, like, really start drilling down on what he's saying there, but if you think about, like, our life, I mean, we've all seen, like, mankind has been able to take a 12,000-pound killer whale and teach it tricks, right? You can get a kiss from him. You can, like, ride on his back. You can do all these things. Like, there are 500-pound grown male lions, apex predators, right? It eats everything, and yet we've trained that thing so it's like your kitten and your pet, and he too will give you a kiss. You can stick your head in his mouth and do all these different things. I've even seen a 1,000-pound black bear riding a bicycle. Like, that's so crazy, right? We can do all that. But James says, that all that, no problem. But to tame your tongue, good luck. All right? He goes on as well. He says that did you know that your tongue, though it's really small, it's going to absolutely steer and guide the pathway of your life. He says it like this in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 3. He says, if we put bits into the mouth of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. He says, look at the ships also. Though they are large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs it. And so, listen, I know people that have absolutely shipwrecked their life because of their mouth. And I know other people as well. Like, I take my daughter, my youngest daughter, Elizabeth, she's the horse, like, she's just a horse nut. She has three horses. And I don't know about you, like, horses freak me out, man. They wig me out a little bit. Like, they intimidate me. I try to, like, like be tough around them, but I just, at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, you win, you know? It's like, but so she's, is my daughter, like this little girl, but I tell you what, if she gets that bit in that horse's mouth, she wins. That thing's gonna do whatever she wants it to do. And in the same way, wow, if we can get control of our mouth, we can steer our lives to the places that we wanna go. And so the tongue is powerful, man. How about this, that the tongue, James is gonna say as well, that though it's small, man, this thing, it can set things aflame. It says in verse 5, it says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And so I think many of us, how many ever heard that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt? Bull. Man, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words, they will burn your house down. Because I think all of us, if I just tell you, hey, just take a minute, and I just want you to think of one person that's spoken a word. Maybe it's a coach, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a teacher. I don't know who that is, but they spoke a word into you, and to this day, you can visually picture in HD that moment. And I don't know if you've ever felt this as well. Psalm 140, David will say this. He says, the poison of asps is on their lips. And there's something about certain words that have been spoken into us. To this day, you can feel that poison just pulsing through your veins. And so words are unbelievably powerful. Any tweeters in here? Here you go, tweet this out right here, okay? Often wounds heal faster than words. Isn't that true? Man, I've broken more bones and got stitched up, and that stuff healed up fine, but there's still stuff that words that are spoken over me to this day that I'm still wrestling with to get free from, okay? And so, but how about this? On the flip side, though, words can also set, like, a little spark, a word spoken over your life can as well just set ablaze. It can ignite the destiny over your life. Like, this happens time and time again where I often talk to this guy, D.L. Moody, who is this evangelist who just, he won hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord. But as a young Christian, there was a guy who was mentoring him, and they were sitting at a park bench in London, and this D.L.'s mentor, he says, you know what, D.L.? The world is yet to see what God can do through one man fully given over to him. He says, you're going to be that man. And he says that absolutely changed his life. You know what was so funny is that the guy, D.L., went back to his mentor years later, and he says, man, those words you spoke to me that day just totally changed my life. And you know what his response was? What words? He didn't even remember, but that little spark was all it took. Boom, and things just blew up and it ignited. I don't know if many of you are familiar, but I'm sure you are, George Washington Carver. And so I don't know if you know that, but so George Washington Carver, he was actually born into a slave home. And what happens after the Civil War, after the abolition of slavery, that he was adopted by his quote-unquote owners. Moses and Susan Carver, they raised little George as their very own. And do you know, how many know that there's a lot of, just because the abolition of slavery, how many to this day we're still having race issues and that kind of things going on. And so how much more at that time? And so George Washington Carver, he's fighting an uphill battle, but his mother would speak words into him. And she would say, George, you're special. God's going to do something amazing through your life. And to this day, he's one of the greatest minds our nation's ever known. It was recorded that George Washington Carver, he would pray to God, God, show me the mysteries of your universe. And God's response was, how about I show you the mysteries in the peanut, right? And he invented 300 things that we can do through the peanut. And so, that's just the story. Words are powerful. And so here's our text today. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Many of you would be familiar with this, but it says this, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And so, Lord, give us grace this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's what I want us to take personal inventory, and I want to ask you this. So what are you pumping into the system? So are you pumping life or death into the system? Here's what I know. Listen, I researched this, and by research, it means I Googled it. And on average, men speak about 7,000 words per day. Women, 20,000 words per day. So women speak three times as much as men. And all God's men said, amen. Right? So, but it's just true. But with that, you have to kind of do a personal accounting. So men, with your 7,000 words, what are you speaking and pumping into the system? Is it words of life that are lifting things, or is it words of death? Women, are you speaking words that lift and it's finding out everything that's right in others, or is it everything that's wrong into other people? Because words are unbelievably powerful. So I'm reading a book, a good read. It's called If You Want to Change the World, Make Your Bed. And it's written by a neighbor. I think Pastor Shino is doing it in his Connect group. That book. And so, but it's written by a Navy SEAL, and he tells the story of Hell Week. Are you familiar with Hell Week? For those of you that aren't, what it is, it's the SEALs going through their buds, their training, and in order to make it, they got to get through, I can't remember what BUD stands for offhand, but they have what's called Hell Week, and it's where they keep them awake for 6 days straight. They're doing continual and consistent calisthenics, and they've constantly got them going from the wet to the cold, from the wet to the cold, in the Pacific Ocean, running at night, all these things. So I actually got to go to San Diego and see the SEALs. I went day three of Hell Week. And so I went there. So this is 3 days. These men haven't had any sleep, and they've been working out nonstop. And it looked like a bunch of zombies, these men walking. It was so pathetic that actually the lieutenant colonel, he's like, you guys need to leave, right? Because it was so gut-wrenching. I swore to myself that day, I said, I will never complain about being tired again, okay? And so they're going through this, and I think it's day two or day three where they actually go through the Tijuana mudslides. And so what they do is, they're doing this through the night, and they trench through thick mud, and so it's freezing cold, and here's what happens. The platoon sergeant will walk around, and he'll whisper into a bullhorn, and he'll be like, men, I have a warm fire waiting for you. I have chicken soup and a hot coffee. I offer you rest and relaxation. You just have to quit. And he says one of the guys next to him began to make his way towards the fire, and he was going to cash in all his destiny. But he says, in that moment, someone else in his platoon began to sing a song. He said it was a familiar song. And then another one started to sing, and another person, till they all joined in, and it captivated the guy who was going to turn it all in, and he came back in and began singing with the other cadets. And so there you see the power, just a word spoken into the atmosphere, suddenly it altered the destiny of these people. And so it got me to thinking about Acts 16. Do you remember Paul and Silas sitting in a prison? They're beaten. Death is all around them. And it says Paul and Silas, they began to sing. And it changed the atmosphere in the prison till suddenly the jailer would wind up getting saved and know Jesus. And so words are unbelievably powerful. And what are you breathing into the system? And do you know some people have death in their mouth? Do you know that you have 100 million bacteria in your mouth? So some have more than others. Turn to your neighbor, cover your mouth, and say, he's talking about you, okay? Not really. Please don't do that. So, psychologists will say this. It takes 8 to 10 positive affirming words to undo one negative word. It's unbelievable. It's like the human soul, we're garbage collectors. And so things that are spoken over us, it's hard to get off of us. But here's what you need to know. Your God, the God that you serve, is a life speaker. Like you go to the book of Genesis and God starts speaking and things come to life, light be. And he speaks the vegetation and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And the world starts teeming with all this life. And then I love this, is that he forms the man. He doesn't speak the man and the woman into existence, but he forms them. And then, you know, the first thing our God does is he speaks life over them. The first thing we see about God is he forms us, and it says he blesses us. He says, be fruitful and multiply. And so do you know if you take inventory of the Gospels, we hear the audible voice of God the Father three times. One time they said they thought it thundered. They wasn't sure what the heck it was. The other two times you hear this, well done. This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. See, God is a life-speaking, blessing God. He blesses us in that you and I, we've been formed and fashioned in the image of God. And as such, you know, you've been, your DNA, you're hardwired. We love to give and to receive words of life. That's why if you've ever had somebody speaks a word over you, you might not know them or whatever, but you're like, really? Really? Like our souls just, it's like someone who's lacking oxygen. It's like, oh, it just kind of breathes life into you. Here's what, I'm embarrassed to say this. I'm a 48-year-old man. Susan's much older than me. And I have I have on my phone right now, I have no less than 3 voicemails saved that I'll play over them. Some of them are from my pastor telling me, hey man, God's using you. You're gonna change New Jersey for the glory. And I just, every now and then I get discouraged. I need to listen to that. I have words spoken from my father who's not a touchy-feely guy, but he sent me this one birthday message. I'm like, I'm saving that one and replaying that one over and over because words, they're powerful. You know, Jesus, my staff is sick of me preaching this one, but Mark chapter 6, you guys will remember this, where Jesus feeds 5,000. And I don't know if you remember what happened is, but they only had a few loaves and a few fish. But you know what Jesus does? It says, now pay attention because this is going to help some of you. It says that Jesus took what he had. It says he looked to the heavens and it says he blessed it. Then he broke it and he gave it away. And the what that is for us is it convicted me like crazy because I tend to just notice everything I don't have and start complaining about that instead of blessing what I do have. And when you bless what you have, God is going to give you more. He has the ability to multiply that. This will be the one and only time I ever quote T.D. Jakes because I'm not cool enough yet. But T.D. Jakes says this, that God will duplicate what we appreciate. God will duplicate what we appreciate. You think of it, parents, tell me this isn't true. Like your kid whining that he only has like 9 Xbox games and his friend's got 20. What are you like, if it's me, I'm spanking the kid and selling his Xbox in a garage sale. But that's why I have daughters, all right? God knew he couldn't give me sons, all right? But yeah, like you don't want it, but if your kid's grateful and just so thankful, don't you want to give them more? Well, how much more God the Father? There's some of us in here as well that you feel like, oh man, God could never use me. Like God could never use me to do anything. And you know, there's this person in the scriptures, his name is Barnabas. He's prolific in your New Testament. He shows up time and time again. And you know what his offering was? Barnabas means son of encouragement. Barnabas is not even his name. His name is Joseph. They call him Barney, right? Barnabas. And the reason why it was his nickname, because this brother just encourages, and he was strategic in building the church. And so for some of you, God's given you that gift of encouragement. And listen, you might not be able to quote all these Bible scriptures, but you could sure lift someone's life up, and that is priceless. If we became a church full of life speakers, this place would be packed, all right? And so that's what God can use us. So I'm going to meddle just a little bit, okay? So don't get mad at me. So husbands and wives, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know that there's this unbelievable power between a husband and a wife. Do you know, it says that when God joined the man and the woman in Genesis 2, it says they were naked and unashamed. That there's something, that there's parts of your spouse, and I don't just mean physically, I mean we open up areas of our soul that we get, and you know what that means? That no one can light you up like your spouse. They know just where the soft parts are, just where they get hurt and they can wound, and with that, it's unbelievably scary, and it's powerful for life or for death. And so I heard this quote. Listen, if you're going to be a wife or you are a wife, you should take this one down because I think this is so true. Words in the mouth of a woman are powerful in the heart of a man. I promise you, if a woman will speak life into her husband, that dude will run through the wall. That guy will do any idiot. He'll give his life away. Why? It's just if he believes that you love that and that thing is, it's a turn on. All right? And so do you know this too? But women by nature, you're way more discerning than men. Here's what, I can go home today and my wife can tell me everything you had on. What color it was, what your hair looked like, all that kind of stuff. Dude, I'd just be like, guys just don't know. That's why you can get some dude with goofy hair and he's just a mess and he looks in the mirror, he's like, cool. He thinks he looks, but you get a Victoria's Secret model, she'll be in that mirror, she'll be like, right? She's got to fix stuff because you're more discerning. With that, you're going to know everything that's wrong with your husband. So what you need to do is become an expert in his strengths and not in his weaknesses. And listen, that goes both ways. So I'm going to get to you men right now. Do you know, men, that it says in 1 Peter 3:7, honor your wife as the weaker vessel. So ladies, pump the brakes here because here's what that means. That means that women, men, we're supposed to treat our girls not like one of the fellas, not like a dude. Right? So it means this, that your wife, she's like China, that you handle that delicately. She's not a travel mug that you chuck in the back of your pickup truck or something like that, right? And so you're supposed to treat her that way. Did you know this, man? It's not just what you say, it's how you say it. I had to learn this in my own, because you can say the right thing in the wrong way and it's wrong. There's a pre-marriage book I like to walk people through. It's called Before You Say I Do. And this is what they said, that to communicate, only 7% of it is content, 38% is tone, and 55% is nonverbal, facial expressions, body language, that type of thing. Is that crazy? And so we got to be aware of how we communicate with our spouse. Let me get to parents. Parents, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Brandy, take good notes, all right? Brandy's great with child. But you guys know it. We have, as a parent, you have power to speak life or death into your kid. And here's the deal. You never outgrow it. Like I told you, I still have on my voicemail a message from my father. I'm 48. Goodness sakes, grow up, Adam. No, you never outgrow that. I can remember I did Ryan and Tiffany's wedding. They were the first wedding I ever did. These poor guys, they were like my first baptism and all that. I messed everything up. But I can remember at their wedding, I give their fathers an opportunity to bless their children. You know why? Because most of us kind of dads, we just kind of get gummed up and we don't know what to say and how to bless. I promise you, every time that the fathers have had the courage to step up and do that, most powerful time of the ceremony. That there's always great tears to follow because the words are powerful from your parent. We went on a trip to Israel and they were doing Orthodox Jewish homes on the Sabbath, Friday night, they'll get together and they'll have the family Shabbat meal, and here's what'll happen. The parents, the father in particular, will get their kids, and so they demonstrated this in front of our missions trip. It was really just like a whatever. It was just about a sightseeing trip, you know, but we went in there and this father brought his two kids up and he laid his hands on there and he began to bless them. This is what I love about you. This is what's so amazing about you. And there was a hush in the place. And then he began to pray number 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you, protect you. May his face smile upon you. And it was just like, I was like, oh, will you be my dad? Right? It was just so powerful. Why? Because that parents, death and life are in our tongues. And I can remember I was 7 years old. My grandmother pulled me aside. I have two younger brother and sister. My grandmother, to this day, I remember it. She whispered in my ear. She says, don't tell your brother and sister, but you're my favorite. Right? And I'm just like, I just remember that. Now I know, now being a parent, that that's what you do and you tell all your kids that. So, right, I've done it to both Cassie and Lizzie, you know, that type of thing. But death and life are in the power of your tongue. And then here's the last thing, and we're going to close, is how do you speak to yourself? Because death and life are in the power of your tongue. You realize that you're constantly speaking to yourself, right? You know you're doing that. Stop speaking, I'm speaking, okay, right? And if you don't think you talk to yourself, then you're, if you're saying that in your head right now, then I rest my case, okay? And so, but have you ever taken inventory of what you speak to yourself and how you speak to yourself? Like I started to just pull back and listen to myself. Like if I heard somebody talking to another individual the way I speak to myself, I would turn them in or I would call them out, one or the other. Because I know I got a lot of self-talk where you're always so stupid, oh, I can never forgive myself or whatever. All these different things, and it's you're speaking death into yourself. Do you know, like, how about if I heard somebody speaking to my kid the way I speak to myself, I would call social services in. And for the record, you and I, we are someone's kid. We're sons and daughters of God. And so we need to watch how we speak over our life. Proverbs 12:14 says this, the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied. Oh, by the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good. And so here's what, if that's you, if you're always speaking death into yourself and you're no one's harder on you than you, you need to pull that back here. And see, because you're going to eat the fruit of your mouth, how you speak to yourself. And here's what I don't mean. I just read a book recently. It was fascinating because it distinguished between self-esteem and self-compassion. Like the self-esteem garbage that we were sold, that this you know, generation or two behind me, that they're just always amazing and everybody gets a trophy. You know, it's just hurting it's killing our kids, right? You know that, right? Because number one, here's the two things that happen. Number one, it's a lie, and your kid knows it's a lie, so they kind of live this thing. Or inevitably, they start to believe it, and then they live deceived. And so what happens, have you ever seen that individual that thinks they're a winner and everyone around them knows that they're a loser type thing? Is that too real, you know? But here's what psychologists now are coming to the reality that you don't need self-esteem because it's fragile and it's weak. He says what you need is self-compassion. And that gives you the opportunity to be brutally honest with yourself, but in a kind, gentle, forgiving manner. And that's unbelievably powerful. So I'll get to another SEALs thing. I knew you were coming, Ryan, so I'm doing Navy SEAL stories. And do you know that the attrition rate for the SEALs is upwards of 94%? So that means 94% of the people that sign up wind up bailing on it. But what they realized, if they can train the cadets or whatever they're called, if they can train them to have a positive self-talk, that they're actually the attrition lowered by 10%. Just by changing the way they talk to themselves. Why? Because hope begins to get stirred in their life. Do you know, this is a very biblical idea, because in the book of Samuel, it says that David, he led his men, and his men lost everything. Lost their family, lost their kids, lost their homes, lost everything, came back, and then it says that David's own men wanted to kill him. It doesn't get any darker than that, but you know what David did? David encouraged himself in the Lord. He began to speak in a self-compassionate way. And it says he went on and he regained everything back again. And so I'm going to ask Kim to come on up. And here's what I want to do before we say amen here this morning is, why don't we do this? Why don't we stand? Do you guys like it better when I go to New York so then I don't do this, like, because I'm going to... Here's what I want us to do is I just want to just create just a ministry moment here real quick. That's a great ringtone too, so whoever that is. Listen, I know, like, we joke and we can kind of do some things like this, but the reality is, man, death and life really are in the power of our tongue. And here's what I know for sure is that most, if not all of us, have had a poisonous word spoken into our life, and it's like the venom, the stinger is still stuck in you, and that thing is still there. You might like to pretend, but there's seasons of your life when the thing rears its head. And it's funny, in my time of prayer, I knew God wanted to, he wants to pull that stinger out of you this morning. So with every head bowed and eye closed, I want to pray over you. Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you saw this moment. God, you've seen just the people that wounds that just have never healed. God, they've scabbed over and they bust open and they scabbed over. And Holy Spirit, that you want to heal and just forever clear the slate here today. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do work on our souls and in our hearts. God, you would set free. You would speak a word, Lord, that leprous word that was spoken, that now, Lord, our souls are whole and pristine. God, we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You're doing that today in Jesus' name. And then for some of us, man, you know that you hate it about yourself, but you tend to see everything that's wrong, that you speak death and you don't even want to, and yet it just seems to come up, and then you hate when you do it. But here's what I know is that God is going to give you grace. Do you know that the problem is not a self-discipline thing? It's a heart thing. The scripture would say, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And God wants to fill your heart with his love and with his spirit, with just a sense of rest and joy. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that God, you would fill us to overflowing. Father, I pray, Lord, that every man, woman, and child in here, God, that we would just begin our day by making our hearts happy in you. And God, out of the abundance of that, Lord, we'll spend our day speaking life over to people. I want you to know this, that God forgives you. God forgives you this morning for every harmful word. The blood of Jesus covers that. And here's what's more important. You need to forgive you. You need to forgive you. Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.